We're doing Chafetz Chaim. We're up to page Nun Aleph, the 14th paragraph on Mitzvot Asei. The Chafetz Chaim was enumerating how many commandments can be involved when one says Lashon Hara. Od nireh, it would seem further, she'over gam al Mitzvot Asei di ve'alechta bidrachav, that when a person says Lashon Hara, he's also transgressing the commandment to go in Hashem's ways. Shenitztavinu bazeh, that when the Torah says go in Hashem's ways, the Torah is in fact commanding lelech b'midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to go in the traits that Hashem is described as having. Asherem kulam rak letov, Hashem's traits are all for good. K'ma'amaram zal, as our sages elucidated, what does it mean to walk in Hashem's path? It means mahu rachum afata rachum. Just as Hashem is compassionate, so too you should be compassionate. Mahu chanun, just as Hashem is merciful. Afata chanun, so too you should be merciful. V'chayitze b'shar midot tovot. And so too with all other good traits, we say, where do we have a commandment to have good traits? That's this commandment, go in Hashem's ways. K'mo shemvoah b'rama milchot deot, as Maimonides explains in the laws of philosophies. We find among Hashem's holy and pure traits that under all circumstances Hashem really detests when people slander, when people speak badly about other people. Even with regards to someone who is really terrible, as the Talmud tells us in Tractate Sanhedrin, the Talmud tells us a very interesting story there. It's worth seeing the full story from the beginning. He quotes the last line, but in fact, there's a whole page before this last line. The Talmud tells us as follows. It's in Tractate Sanhedrin, the 11th page, and really starts on the 10th page, Yud Amid Beis. The Talmud is going on, it's Tractate Sanhedrin. The topic is, who can be involved with the decision to make it a leap year? Every year they would decide anew. The courts would convene, the court would convene, and they would do many calculations to figure out both astronomically and sociologically whether they should make it a leap year or not. So the Talmud says you could only be a part of that court if you had an invitation. That court, where we're dealing Tractate Sanhedrin, the tractate that discusses the different types of courts, and you could only be a part of that court if the Nasi, the prince, gave you an invitation the night before and said, I want you to join that court. And it happened that Rabban Gamliel, the Nasi, invited seven people to convene as a court in an attic to make it into leap year. And when they came to account in the attic, there were eight. So Rabbi Gamliel asked, who came here without permission? And one of the rabbis, his name was Shmuel, and he said, I came without permission, and I didn't come to be a part of the court, I just came to learn how you guys do that. So Rabbi Gamliel looked at him, and he said, son, sit down. All years are fit to be decided upon by one like you. You are so fit, but our sages said that you could only be a part of the court if you had an invitation. Now, in fact, it wasn't Shmuel who did not have an invitation. He was invited. There was someone else who didn't, but he didn't want to have the person embarrassed. And that's why Shmuel was called Shmuel HaKatan. He was given the nickname Shmuel the Minor because he minimized himself. He didn't want someone else to be embarrassed. And the Talmud then tells us we have another story. Yes?
He's the one who composed the Rav Shini.
Right. Correct.
He's the one who cooked, but he got no personal likes to grind against these people, right? I mean, he just wasn't like, it's hard to compose something like that without.
Yeah, so the Talmud tells us we have a similar story from Rebbe. That Rebbe was in the middle of teaching, and suddenly he smelled garlic. So he asked, who ate garlic and came to class? So Rabbi Chiya, who was an equal to Rebbe. The Talmud questions who was greater, Rebbe or Rebbe Chiya. Generally, we assume that Rebbe was greater, that Rebbe Chiya was his disciple. But there are places where it's not so clear. So Rebbe Chiya, who was the top in the class, got up and walked out. He didn't want the person who ate garlic to be embarrassed. The whole class walked out. So the next morning, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi's son, meets Rabbi Chiya and he says, why did you eat garlic and make it difficult for Dad to give the class? And he says, I didn't do such a thing, but I didn't want anyone else to be embarrassed. How did Rabbi Chiya have such an idea? The Talmud says he learned it from Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was once teaching and a woman walked in and said, someone in this academy slept with me and said it was for the sake of engaging me for marriage. So Rabbi Meir realized that in a second she'll start looking around and say it was him. So Rabbi Meir pulled out a piece of parchment and said, I'll write you a divorce contract right now. And he wrote her a divorce contract and gave it to her. And the students saw him, so everyone did the same. They understood that this way the one who was actually, who had slept with her wouldn't be embarrassed. And how did Rabbi Meir have that idea? Well, he learned it from Shmuel HaKatan. And how did Shmuel HaKatan have that idea? He learned it from Shechaniah ben Yechiel, that when Shechaniah ben Yechiel came to Ezra, the scribe, in the beginning of the period of the Second Temple, so he didn't come and say, we have an issue here in Israel, the Jews are intermarried, people have married non-Jewish women. He comes and says, we have intermarried. He describes it as though he was part of the problem, even though he wasn't. And how did he have this idea? He learned it from Joshua. Because when Joshua lost the first battle against the city of Ai, so he broke down before Hashem, and Hashem told him, get up, what are you crying for? The Jews have sinned. You, when you conquered the previous city of Jericho, you took a vow that you wouldn't take from the loot, and the Jews didn't keep their word, and that's why you can't stand up to war, because you have sin among you as you go to war. So Joshua turned to Hashem and said, who took? And Hashem said to him, you want me to be a rat? You want me to tell on someone else? I'm not doing that. So we see that Hashem didn't want to embarrass someone. Hashem said, you'll draw lots. You'll figure it out in a roundabout way. I won't do it in a direct way. I won't reveal and embarrass someone. So here you see Hashem said, I will not be the one to tell on someone else, even though the person sinned. Even though the person had sinned more than once. In Moshe Rabbeinu's time, this person also stole from the loot. Nonetheless, Hashem says, I won't be the one to tell on someone else. So here we see one of Hashem's traits is that Hashem does not want to be the one to tell on someone else. So that's why the Chafetz Chaim writes that when one says over Lashon Hara, they're also transgressing the commandment to go in Hashem's ways. Because you see, Hashem, one of Hashem's ways is that Hashem doesn't tell on other people. Yes?
This question, when you first started telling us the teacher, Rebbe of Rabbi Chaya, he was the one who said, who ate garlic?
Yeah.
Because that's also important, that he's someone that great could conceivably slip, like you talked about, it came with David.
You see, Rebbe Gamliel also asked, who came without an invitation?
Yeah.
Right? So, right?
It shows you just how hard it is to be 100% in this.
Yeah.
That's
a good point. Yafeh. Very nice. So firstly, one of Hashem's traits is that Hashem doesn't like telling on other people. Secondly, v'tzofeh l'tova v'en tzofeh l'ra'a. This is one of my favorite lines in Medrash. The Medrash Tana de Be'el Yov begins with the line, it says, Hashem is looking for good. How often do we look to see when someone makes a mistake? You see someone about to do something wrong, do you turn away so you won't see it? It says Hashem is always looking to see when we do right. Hashem is looking for the good. The Amor sage said, Alba kitot en mekablot ne shechina. There are four groups of people who will not merit to see the heavenly presence. We discussed this a few days ago. We said, this is one of the sources for the prohibition of lying, because it says those who lie will not merit to see the heavenly presence. So there's another group, and that is kat mesapei lashon hara, those who speak badly about others. Dichtiv, as the verse says, ki lo kel chafetz resha ata lo yiguchara. Hashem does not like evil. Hashem does not let those who are evil stay in His presence. V'imken mi shemargid atzmo b'midah ra'a azo. So if a person is accustomed to this bad trait of speaking badly about other people, eino olech b'dalchei Hashem, we turn the page to page Nun Beis. So then he is not going in Hashem's footsteps. She'urak le'etiv lezulato. You see, Hashem only wants to do good unto others. V'usel afkon. When a person speaks badly, he's doing the opposite. That's why the verse says, this is considered a person who is ra. When we say, those who say, lashon hara won't be in Hashem's presence, that's because it says, lo yigurcha ra. So you see, the word ra, bad, evil, is a term the Talmud understands is used for one who says, lashon hara, lachen over on mitzvah, say zo, gamken. That's why he's also in transgression of this commandment. So, we've just enumerated 14 mitzvot asay, aside from the 17 lavin, even though they're not all applicable at one time or with one story, but nonetheless, when a person repeatedly says lashon hara, so then he will inevitably transgress on different occasions all of these mitzvot. Sometimes he'll end up speaking about an elder, sometimes he'll talk about a chacham, sometimes he'll embarrass the person, etc. All the different prohibitions we saw. And that's why the Chafetz Chaim enumerated all these mitzvot. And with that, we've concluded the second part of the introduction, the proactive mitzvot that can be involved with recounting Lashon Hara.